This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
See Live Off the Record with Chicago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Central Bank of the Bahamas, the Cleveland Clinic, Dunkin' Donuts, Grand Bahama News, Janae's Uniform Center, J&G Productions, Printmasters, RF Bank and Trust, Royal Star Assurance, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call today on the show, the numbers have not changed. You can call us on 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 325-4316, or 325-4, or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. You can text us today on 422-4796. That's 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 443. I trust and hope that everything works out with our broadcast today. I had to do two treatments today, and one of them was in the afternoon. So rather than do a replay, I tried to get through that. And now I have to be in a situation where I'm trying to make sure our connections work. So hopefully all goes well. Let me know if we have any challenges with the audio, etc. So I don't know what I'd be able to do about it, but we'll try to make sure we can do whatever we can do about it. But that's the state of our situation today. So producer, just let me know if we're good. We're good. Everything's okay. Before I launch into what I want to discuss today, just make sure, just let me know, producer, please. We're good. Audio is good. Okay, good. So the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, an organization that that was created by the developed countries, the most developed countries coming out of World War II, during what we call the Bretton Woods era. One of the multilateral institutions created in that time, the United Nations, the World Bank was another one of those institutions. And then you had the GATT that was then succeeded by the World Trade Organization, eventually in the 90s. But the International Monetary Fund is charged by the nations that govern it. And the nations that govern it are all the nations. Are we back now, producer? So we dropped. I'm hoping we don't have this challenge all through. Okay, so I'm explaining the nature of the International Monetary Fund, because sometimes we treat the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and these other institutions as if they are some creatures that came out of the sky, have their own governing body, having nothing to do with the countries, and they tell us what to do. And that is simply not true. It is not true that they have a board of directors. And as I indicated, the central bank governors of the countries, members of those boards, are the governors of those boards. And then the ministers of finance are the deputies. So in that respect, the central bank governors are actually higher in ranking than the ministers of finance. And that's because of the nature of the International Monetary Fund, which is to see after the stability of the international monetary system. What is that? So all of the trade that we do in the world is underpinned by the currencies of the countries of the world. And those currencies are only as stable as the policies implemented by each country and the international cooperation that may exist between countries, insofar as harmonizing or maintaining the integrity of their own individual systems to ensure international trade and the financial system that underpins it works well. So the job of the IMF is to monitor the nations and their monetary policies and that shape the integrity of their monies, their dollars, their currencies, and to ensure that there is not something that's going to be so destabilizing to the international monetary system as to put the economic system of the world in jeopardy. And they are charged to do this, not by themselves, but by the governors of their systems. And the governors come from the countries that are members of the International Monetary Fund, including the Bahamas. And the International Monetary Fund gets its money from the subscriptions of the countries that are members of it. Of course, the bigger country, the bigger your country's economy, the larger your subscription. So the United States and Germany and the UK and those would pay much more in subscription than the Bahamas. But when you get into trouble, you can go to the IMF. They can't come. They can't just come in and rescue you. They can't just come in and dictate to you. You have to appeal to them, or they may come to you to ask you if you need some help from them, and you can submit to a program of theirs that gives you access to funding that stabilizes your monetary system and therefore your economy, and ensures that there are conditions attached to your not repeating things that may have got you into that problem to begin with until you get stabilized again and pay off your obligations to the fund. So that organization, every year, as a part of its monitoring of countries, they conduct what is called an article for review, meaning that the constitution of the IMF or the article that governs the memorandum of understanding of the IMF requires the IMF to conduct countries. They do it of every country that's a member of the IMF, the United States, the UK, etc. And then they publish on the basis of their review. Their review takes place by looking at your data, by talking to your government officials, talking to opposition officials, talking to private sector individuals, talking to your financial system leadership, etc., to try to get a sense of what is going on in that economy. And they have their own models for modeling your economic prospects for the future, etc. And on the basis of all that, they come up with an assessment of where you are and recommendations for where you should be. Okay, now, the IMF is not a group of elected people. They're not. They are hired by the countries that are members of the IMF. They are technicians that have a responsibility to conduct technical work. So when they make recommendations, they are looking at monetary system stability or economy's performance and stability, and they make recommendations on that part. If their recommendations might sound like craziness to you because you don't want to pay more money, because your government isn't interested in being unpopular because they have to make moves that they are recommending that's unpopular, that's not their concern. They are not in the business of getting elected every 5 years. So they just make recommendations based on their technical assessment. You can agree with them or disagree with them. You don't have to do what they say. You can do what they say. So no matter how much they put out there, it's a recommendation based on their technical assessment, right? And again, you can argue with them. You can refute them. You can accept what they say. But they are going to do their job in recommending. Over the course of their history, they have proven to be quite in some of the things they've recommended. And that was in their earlier history. And then they have proven to be quite right in some of their recommendations. So there are countries who have subscribed to them, whose subscription has turned out to help the country. Jamaica would be a recent example of that, having gone on an IMF program whose economy has certainly been functioning and performing much better than it did prior to that subscription. The Bahamas has never been on an IMF program. The Bahamas has gotten funding from the IMF one time in its history has the Bahamas gotten funding, but that was in the circumstances of the pandemic, and that was a special set of circumstances, and where the Bahamas used its own special drawing rights to essentially collateralize that advance from the IMF. Anyways, the IMF, as you have heard already, you've already listened to it on every newscast, read in the dailies, and listened to it on talk shows. The IMF has made about what they think that the Bahamas should do. Now, what I do not like that happens is we have a very knee-jerk emotional response to the IMF's recommendation, and we tend to pull out the sexy ones of them that might hit our pocketbooks, etc. We don't look at the recommendations in their totality, and that's unfortunate. Because the IMF has recommendations that relate to growing your economy, because they understand that economy has to support the population, the society, and be able to make possible anything that the government is going to do to help stabilize, maintain a credible financial system. They recognize that. Any economist would recognize that. So they have recommendations about that. Now, whether you agree with their recommendations or not, the fact is they're looking at that. And then they have recommendations about what the government must do. We oftentimes, some of us, turn around and go, oh, they want to increase VAT. Oh, they're introducing the personal income taxes and so forth. And while we talk about or we mention the other things that they talk about, where they're talking about what we must do in the education system to improve our total factor productivity, what they are recommending we do in improving our systems to create a better environment for economic growth. We mentioned those only cursorily because they are like kind of abstract, hopeful promises that we don't latch ourselves to, because the existential threats to our pocketbooks is taxes. Our taxes, right? And so we look and focus on those too much. That's that kind of a narrow viewing of the recommendations of the IMF gets us into problems, because we then look with jaundiced eyes at the recommendations without looking at the totality of what they are. So when we do that, you know, we then get these discussions where people call the radio shows and they start talking about, the government to improve our economy needs to cut down on expenditure and this way stop renting and start buying their own, loving their own buildings, and these kinds of things, without any data to actually support the fact that, does the government rent more than it owns? And would renting versus owning, or owning versus renting, really improve the government's financial circumstances? Like, if they did that, how much would that improve the bottom line? None of that information is available, but those recommendations are there, arising out of this notion that when the government's finances improve, the economy improves. That conflation is totally suspect, right? Because government set of finances, as I will demonstrate to you in a little while, that is great, fantastic, and the economy could suck. Or you could have the reverse, where the economy is great, but the government's finances is awful. Because while the two can certainly play on each other, they don't have to be at all the same scenario. I am going to demonstrate to you in a little while, when we come back from the break, that we could, in 4 years' time, have an absolutely wonderful government financial circumstance. In five years. Absolutely fantastic government financial circumstance. We can have, in that period of time, a government earning a surplus in excess of $800 million. You hear what I said? Excess, not a deficit every year, an excess of $800 million every year. A government who has revenue intake over $1 billion, just new revenue intake in terms of cash at its disposal. And a government that can reduce the national debt, because it will have so much money to do it, by about $5 billion in 5 years. So instead of having a $11, $12 billion national debt, you could have a $6 billion national debt. Yes, that could happen in 5 years. And we'll talk about it when we come back. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
cheese at Burger King Nashville has never tasted so good. It's made with 100% flame-grilled beef that's juicier, topped with fresh ingredients and fluffier buns. Get a regular Whopper with cheese combo for only $9, including VAT. And enjoy a Whopper that's bigger, better, and tastier. The only place to get your Whopper with cheese combo is at Burger King Nassau, where it's grill time anytime.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I ain't marched the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call a text Crime Stopper and we even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Welcome to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can call us from the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, "Good day, Mr. Lang. Glad you took the time to come and educate the public with factual information again. I learned a lot in just opening of the show. This is why we need individuals like you with the knowledge and a plan at the wheel of this country. I hope the technical issues are ironed out. Great show. Thank you very much." We try. We have another text here. Let me get to that before we move on. We don't. This says, "Afternoon, last week I read that the government, excuse my ignorance, but where does the central bank get that kind of money?" The central bank charges a fee to all of the banks and entities that it regulates. And so it gets revenue from those fees. The central bank also is the the guardians of your international reserves. And so it can have access to funding that it can lend the government. And these days, it can only lend the government. Before, it used to be able to advance monies to the government, not lend, but advance. Now it can only lend to the government. So that's possible. Okay, so let me ask you all a question. Would you like to see the government's finances in this situation? Would you like to see the government have a surplus, meaning that it spends less than it takes in revenue by more than $800 million? Would anybody like to see that? $800 million a year, the government is building up cash. Good again. I'm good. Okay, good. We're gonna have that from time to time, it seems. So let's work through it. So are you interested in a national debt reduced by $6 billion and interest savings of the order of $140-200 million? Anybody interested in that? I think you would be. How could that happen, Shivago? Okay, I don't want you to judge me yet. I just want you to hear what I recommend could happen in 5 years. Okay? So let's say the Bahamas has about don't interpret and anticipate what I'm going to do. Just the only question I'm asking is, would you like to see the Bahamas in that situation? Okay, I know some of you understand government finances, so you know where I'm going. But I'm just asking for the moment. Just use your imagination and ask. Would I like the government surplus to be $800 million a year? Imagine what you could do with that. Would I like the national debt to be reduced by $5 billion? Imagine what that would mean in terms of interest saving. If you want it, don't go someplace and say, et cetera. Just, would you like to have that happen? Just hear me out then. So the Bahamas has about 3.5 million acres of crown land. 3.5 million acres. Of that land, about 60% is crown land. So 2.4 million acres is crown land. If the Bahamas could take 10,000 acres of that, that's less than 1%. That's 0.4% of those acres, 10,000 acres. And over a period of 5 years, sell each acre for $20,000. Listen, is that a lot of money?
The wait is over. That safe, guaranteed investment opportunity that you've been waiting for has finally arrived. My name is Bond, the Bahamas Government Savings Bond. And as of Thursday, November the 21st, all Bahamians, for as little as $100, can begin to save for their future. The investment rates are fixed and guaranteed with terms for 1 to 6 years. So you can't lose. Mark it down. Thursday, November the 21st. Get your Bahamas Government Savings Bonds. Check out the Central Bank of the Bahamas website for more details.
Around the world, Cleveland Clinic is recognized as a leader in healthcare. Our team of experts relentlessly pursues the best for our patients. From groundbreaking cancer research to state-of-the-art heart surgery, life-saving innovations happen here. Every when it's time to travel for your health, it's time to travel to Cleveland Clinic. Your destination for care, for every care in the world. To learn more, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're trying to put the government's finances in much better situation right now. We're not judging the efforts. We're just going to try to make the effort. So we're going to sell 10,000 acres of land at $20,000 an acre. We're going to put $200 million in the government's coffers, right? We're going to sell and ship 10,000 of them in 5 years' time. We're going to put 500. Do that for $250,000, and that's going to put $250 million in the coffers, right? We're going to sell state-owned enterprises, and we're not trying to get the most money in the world, but we're going to sell what we can of beer and them for about $100 million. We're going to sell BTCs out of 49% and get $300 million. And we're going to sell some other government-related services, and we're going to collect $50 million. Guess how much money we can put in the bank? $1.5 billion cash money sitting in the bank over 5 years. Government has on its at its disposal. So that's on the sales side of life, $1.5 billion, right? In taxes, yeah, we're trying to get the government's finances in shape. So what we're going to do is we're going to introduce income tax. And we're going to introduce income tax not on everybody. We're going to introduce income tax on the top 40% of people at a 12.5% income tax. 12.5% income tax. We're going to make it progressive, but average at to those 30-40% households, their collective income, their collective income would enable the government to pocket about $350-400 million. Okay, that's of income tax. That's not everybody. That's not the poor. That's the upper middle class and those persons above the middle class. We're going to increase VAT by one percentage point of VAT, and that'll allow us to okay, so ladies and gentlemen, I hope you heard all our recommendations for improving the government's fiscal situation. Credit situation, $1.5 billion in the bank, $800+ million annual surplus coming in, and the ability in 5 years to pay down the debt by $4 billion. Are we not, is that not a great situation to be in? Tell me, is that not great? Isn't that where you want to be? Is that not where you'd want to be? Tell me. I just gave you the recommendations. It's easy. It's very easy to improve the government's financial circumstances. And I just gave you some suggestions and recommendations for doing so. Are those things you want to do? Sell off government land, sell citizenship, sell permanent residency, sell off state-owned enterprises, sell off the remainder of your shares in BTC and some other enterprises, raise taxes and fees, introduce income tax, cut expenditure, capital expenditure annually, cut staff, cut government programs. Tell me. 323-6232, 323-6232, or 325-4316. Or text us 422-4796, or you can WhatsApp me 4393043. I just gave you a formula. And I'm telling you, I've been in the Ministry of Finance. We can do this if you want. Is that what you want? To do it that way? We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
Hey, yes, Mr. Lang, how you doing?
I'm right here, my friend.
Hey, listen, Mr. Lang, I could be quick. Mr. Lang, you know, the government and money can't sleep in the same house. So when they see all the money in the bank?
No, I'm not worrying about that. I don't want you to take us off course. I'm not worrying about that. I'm asking you if you would be okay with us doing the things I recommended.
Yeah, man. Anything. Anything that would put our country in a better shape for the benefit of the Bahamian people, I for that.
So you are okay with me cutting the civil servants, service staff over the next 5 years by 20%. That means sending home about 4,000 civil servants. You okay with that?
What I'm okay, I didn't hear all of that part, Mr. Lang, because
you got to listen, man, because I even had in there you can sell 10,000 citizens.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, you got cut off part of the way, so I really didn't hear all of that. I'm cutting the civil service thing like that, right? I didn't hear that part. Are you still there?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me now?
Put my life back together.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand. Come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Hopefully, we will have a little bit more fortune this week. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043, or you can call us from the Family Islands on 242-3005. Yeah, improving the government's finances in 5 years. How are we going to do that? We're going to sell 10,000 acres of crown land at $20,000 a piece. Dirt cheap, dirt cheap. $200 million we're going to yield. Citizenship, we're going to sell some of them. 10,000 citizenships for $500,000. I know lots of Asians and other people who would do that. $500 million in a pocket. We can sell some PRs for people who don't want citizenship, but they want to be able to live here. And we can give them a document quite like the passport that they could move with. And we're going to sell that for $250,000 and put $250 million in the pot. We can sell some state-owned enterprises at $100 million, and we can sell our 49% share in BTC at $300 million. Somebody say dirt cheap. No problem. And some other entities we can sell, we can make $50 million. We can put $1.5 billion in the treasury, cash money, over 5 years, just like that. We're going to do some things on the taxation side. We're going to introduce income tax at an effective rate of 12.5% on the upper 40% of households in the country and yield the country over $400 million in annual revenue. Increase VAT by one percentage point, take it to 11%. And that's going to yield us some $140 million. We're going to increase some other tax and fees and yield ourselves $100 million. So all told, we're going to yield for the government almost $800+ million. But we're not just going to stop there. We can cut some expenditure. How? We're going to reduce capital expenditure by $150 million a year. We're going to cut staffing by 8% over 5 years. Those two together are going to yield the government over $240 million. We're going to cut $100 million in other programs. We could do that. You know, all this junk and stuff like that, man. Cultural this and that. And next. We cut them things out. $100 million. $340 million saved. So with $800 million in taxes and $340 million in savings, expenditure side, we had $1 billion in excess funds for the government on an annual basis. That $1 billion or so over 5 years, that's $5 billion. And we don't have $1.5 billion sitting cash money in the bank. If we're going to make $1 billion annual savings going forward, we could cut the national debt by $5 billion. $5 billion. Isn't that a great place to be? Tell me why that's not a great place to be. Tell me why you wouldn't want to do that. Call me, text me, tell me. See, many times you just want the government finances to be great. Someone said they didn't mind that happening, but they didn't hear me say cut the civil service by 20%. That means send about 4,000 people home. What are the implications of that? Introduce income tax. What are the implications of that? Increase VAT. What are the implications of that? Sell citizenship and PR. What are the implications of that? Cut capital expenditure on an annual basis. What are the implications of that? On the financial side of life, government finances tremendously. Tremendously. You would be sitting pretty. You'll be one of the prettiest looking governments in the world when it comes to financial circumstances. So what's the problem? Somebody please text me. Call me. You don't want that? No? Producer, they can't hear me? Nobody's hearing me? Is that the problem? Producer, tell me, can they hear me?
Am I muted? Can somebody hear me? I want to know. Yes. Hi. Go ahead.
Hey, Chicago.
Yeah, Anton. What's going on? Wait, your fiscal situation is sitting pretty, Anton. Sitting pretty from the Chicago plan. The Chicago plan.
No, the Chicago plan. In actuality, Chicago, can you hear me?
I can hear you very well.
That's not like minutes 2.0.
Anton, you all say you all want the government finances to be in order. You want your national debt down. You want to get rid of the deficit. You want to stop all this government wastage. All these people working for this bloated civil service. We cut all the travel down and all that kind of stuff. And now we are sitting at $1 billion surplus a year. National debt that's down by $5 billion. What's the problem, bro?
Stop the boat and let me off.
What's the problem? You now have the greatest minister of finance in the history of the Bahamas. No IMF coming looking at us no more. We straight.
Ain't the greatest minister according to who?
According to the people who wanted their national debt down, who wanted to get rid of the deficit, get rid of that old bloated civil service, and so forth and so forth. I have money now. I could go send children off to school. I could do all kind of things now. I need money, cash money.
That plan also comes with major consequences. Major consequences, as you very well know.
What consequences, Anton? What consequences? Y'all want the government finances to be better off?
That has implications for the growth and advancement of the Bahamas. That has implications for gentrification. That has implications for the economic well-being of Bahamian citizens in the country. Chicago, we definitely don't want that menace plan to
work. Really? Really? Really, Anton? Really, man? Seriously? I'm sending home 4,000 civil servants, man. 4,000. I'm going to save $90, $100 million a year in salaries, bro.
Hey, Chicago, you want to send home a quarter of the civil service?
I
thought it was 20,000.
20%. No, 20%. It's 22,000. It's 22,000, basically.
22,000. Right. Yeah. So you want to cut the 20% by a fifth.
Because I want you to have a surplus, man. I want you to reduce the national debt.
Hey, Chicago. Why are you playing devil's advocate with us today, man?
I thought you would come on the radio and say, Belang, but you's a brilliant minister of finance, man.
No, boy.
You'll get us in that kind of good shape
in
5 years?
Yeah. Look here, I don't even think the IMF would recommend all of those things.
But, Anton, seriously, you see the point that I'm making, though, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that it is easy to improve the governance financial circumstances. Overall societal, cultural, and economic cost to doing so.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, with those kind of cuts and that kind of plan, the human citizens would be on the outside looking in our own country. And Chicago, we would require over here an immediate MAGA president or MAGA prime minister. No question about it.
Now, this also is true, though.
Mm.
If I moderated that same plan significantly,
right.
Moderated it, it is possible to have more modest gains, right? More modest gains without the kind of shock impact
that I propose
would do.
Right.
And if we couple that, with another plan, which is to grow the economy by, say, 3 to 3.5% annually, we now have a doable proposition.
Absolutely. And you know what, Chivago, over the last maybe 3, 4, 5 nights, I've been thinking very strongly. I've been thinking on the fact that we need a government, Chivago, that is going to focus on that exact last part that you just said. Growing the economy by percentages that are unusual to our growth in this country. Growing the economy, putting the necessary thought processes into what is necessary to grow our economy by percentages that we are not normally used to growing them by. We all know that.
No, go ahead, Anton.
We all know that the growth we experienced coming out of COVID-19 was not something that the Bahamas government was going to be able to maintain for any extended period outside of that immediate period. However, Chivago, we could put our heads together and focus on restructuring our economy as such that we grow the economy. In addition to growing the economy, we utilize the currently exist in the economy to maximize the impact of those benefits for more citizens to reap the benefits of the economics that is already happening in the country. We need to reorganize.
So let me tell you something. So take the current structure of the Bahamian economy. The current structure. Forget a new structure.
Uh-huh.
In the 90s, that same structure yielded us for much of that decade growth in excess of 3%, as high as 7% in real terms.
Yes, and Chivago, that is something that, look, I beat the airwaves for that so badly, and then I heard you read the report from the IMF. I didn't get to participate in your show on that day. I was only able to listen because of what I was doing otherwise. But you came out and read the exact same things in the IMF report as I discussed on a daily basis, as you are discussing right now with me and you, where they explained that not only have we fallen behind in tourism and our advancements and gains in tourism, more importantly, we have fallen behind in the impact of tourism on Bahamian citizens, whereas other countries in the region, they have found the ways to get all of the benefits or a maximum amount of the benefits derived in their particular number one industries being derived to the benefit of their citizens. We have fallen so far behind in that formula because we are just focusing on the numbers of persons coming to our shores. And it comes right back to that exact point that you just made in the 70s. How is it possible that in a developing...
No, this was in the 90s. This was in the 90s. In the 90s. Between 93 and 2000.
How is it possible, Chivago? And I understand the answer, but I'm putting it to you so that you can help Bahamians to appreciate your knowledge in the area as well. How is it possible that in the 90s, Chivago, we were able to realize a maximum Bahamians from industries that we tout as our number one industry in the country, but today we are losing ground, as the IMF pointed out. Please engage in that discussion, Chivago.
A big part of the answer was in that period of time, the investments that were taking place in the Bahamas were real-time, on-the-ground investments that took our unemployment rate from about 14% to under 7%. And introduce some very real new income to Bahamian households. In Grand Bahama, you saw a major hotel developed. You saw a container port developed. You saw a shipyard developed. You saw a Bradford Marine developed. So very real, concrete economic gains were being had on the ground in the way of job creation, new business creation, and also in terms of housing and construction, et cetera. They were all booming. And so so the real households was significant. We have not really achieved that level of... And by the way, this was not merely merely a matter of, say, the FNM of England being exceptionally brilliant in that period, other than to say what he saw were opportunities tied into the U.S. economic boom that he did not prevent from materializing in the Bahamas. And so a lot of our tourism gains were by stopover visitors and not merely cruise ships.
Right. I'd like to end with my contribution to Bahamas, and I'll continue to listen with this point right here. I am concerned as a Bahamian citizen who looks at the past, who looks at the long-term past, who looks at the immediate past, who looks at the current, who looks at the medium future and the long-term future, Chicago. I'm concerned as a citizen who tries to look at all of those aspects and incorporate them into my thinking. When I recognize land, we do not regrow land. We could reclaim land from the sea. And if we don't get the formulas correct, Chicago, if we don't get the formulas correct where we can extract all the benefits, a maximum amount of those benefits, if not all, to the benefit of the human citizens in our country, what does that mean for us in the future, Chicago, when we get to a point of landlock, if you don't get the formula correct today? I'll hang up and continue. Thank you for the great work. Continue to do the great work, brother. God bless.
Appreciate it. Thank you. So the reason why I did the exercise I did for you just now was I wanted you to appreciate something, which is this. When lots of people keep talking about government finances, you are talking about a very narrow component of the overall economic wellness and well-being of the Bahamas, because it's easier to improve the government's finances if you are willing to take the pain of what it takes to do that to yourself. So that's not a big challenge. You can cut this and cut that and increase taxes here, increase taxes that, sell off this and sell off that, and you can greatly improve the government's financial circumstances. But the cost of that can be severe to some of your social, economic, and other ambitions, attitudes, and norms in the Bahamas. But you can do it. So we really have to think more broadly about what is required for the economy in relation to government finances and not think about the two of them as one. They are not the same thing. That's the first thing I wanted to help you understand and appreciate. So I hope no one else calls these shows talking about, oh, the government needs to improve the economy by cutting waste and doing this and the next thing, because some of the things the government can do can certainly improve its circumstances, its financial circumstances, but that doesn't mean that it materializes into economic gains for the guy. And so they're not the same things. The two are not the same thing. They both can and should move in tandem, but they don't always do that, because governments are making decisions a lot of times on political expedience. So while it might not benefit the economy, it might benefit some votes for the government. That's what political expedience is. All right? And so you can have that at play, causing the government times to produce bad results for the economy. And in bad times, because of the necessity of doing some things, because they don't have a choice, they can do some good things for their finances, but they don't help with the economy. That's the first thing I wanted you to recognize. The second thing I wanted you to note, insofar as this overall situation is concerned, is that the IMF's recommendations also acknowledge the need to economic side of life as well as the government stuff. And that while they may be heavy on the government stuff, they do that because they don't have to pay attention to the political implications of the same. So when you hear the government comes out and say, oh, I don't know VAT, why would the government tell you we can raise VAT with an election coming in 2026? It's not a possible chance. It didn't say anything about income tax because the government... But they also know, I ain't doing nothing but income tax before 2026 either. Okay? And so the two are not the same. For instance, even the corporate top-up tax is not the same as what the IMF was recommending in terms of introducing a profit business license tax. They're not the same things. The top-up tax, corporate top-up tax, is that's about foreign companies. And these are the biggest companies that do business in the Bahamas. Mostly these are on the offshore side of life. These are 600, 700 million euro companies, right? Going to collect $140 million from. That's like about 10, maybe 20 companies. That's not who the IMF is talking about. The IMF is saying your biggest and most profitable companies in the Bahamas, they might be Atlantis, might be Bahama, might be other, some of the banks, et cetera. They're saying these companies, we are saying, introduce a corporate profit tax on. That's a larger swath of companies than the top-up tax, so we shouldn't mix the two up. Okay, and so that's the essence of why I did this exercise. I hope it helped. If it didn't, let me know. I'm happy to try and clarify anything that I may have missed. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
Are you a business owner or HR professional? RF's team of pension specialists are here to empower your employees with market-leading retirement solutions and to make implementing group pensions easy and cost-effective. With RF, starting or switching your company pension plan is a breeze, and there are no setup fees. If you're looking for strong investment performance and low fees, visit rfgroup.com/empower and empower your team to retire comfortably with RF Group Pensions today. That's rfgroup.com/empower.
Babe! The car?
I ain't marsh the car. The lady run into me marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of that, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This October, Dunkin' Donuts is brewing more than just coffee. We're brewing strength because we're stronger together. Donate at any Dunkin' location to support breast cancer awareness, and we'll match every dollar you give. Together, we're making a real difference for the Sister Breast Cancer Support Group. Sip, smile, support. When we stand together, we're stronger together. Because Bahamas runs on Dunkin'.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises customers in New Providence that the corporation is continuing its island-wide disconnection exercise. Customers who have not yet addressed their outstanding balances are requested to do so to avoid the disconnection of their water supply. Customers who have not yet honored their financial agreements and who have allowed their accounts to become delinquent are asked to visit the corporation and speak with a customer representative corporation's call center at 302-5599.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful
Wednesday afternoon. I trust and hope that you are doing well. If you want to give us a call, the number, do so. 323-6232-254316. You can call us on the Family Islands on 242-300-5720. You can text us on 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. Recently, the Prime Minister has been criticized for the extent of his travel. And Prime Minister Davis does travel a lot more than I believe most prime ministers in the country have traveled. Whatever the circumstances, he has clearly set an agenda that requires him or has him traveling quite a bit. And in response to the criticism, the prime minister said something that I thought was interesting. He said that in due course, he will explain the benefits of his travel. Now, that's always a problem. I've said that before. I used to tell my colleagues, I used to say this to some colleagues of mine. Whenever you have to explain to people what you are doing for them, then clearly they are not experiencing what you're doing for them, and that makes life harder. So it isn't, you know, you might be able to explain to people why you're traveling the way you're traveling, to do climate change, to encourage climate change, et cetera, but if thousands of people are sitting home with no jobs, sitting homes with stifled wages, sitting home with a high cost of living, these are the bread and butter items for them, and they don't see the benefits to themselves from anything that you have done, and they connect it and to be able to connect that to themselves, you don't get the benefit of that. I'm sorry, even with an explanation, as clear as the explanation might be, people feel and experience what they experience. Even when you look at the Deputy Prime Minister as the Minister of Investments and talking about his travels and what he's been able to achieve, if you look around the Bahamas, if you look around where most of the population exists, in New Providence or in Grand Bahama, the actual on-the-ground material manifestation of those investments, $6-plus billion, even where they exist, even, and they do exist, for instance, and some of them do exist. In Grand Bahama is an example where the, is it Carnival? Or Carnival is known, the project out there, or the East. The shipyard is doing its expansion in the container port. When you look at the impact they are having broadly on the community, it is not as material to the benefit of people as you would like. And so therefore, you don't kind of get that credit. Like when the initial investments were taking place in Grand Bahama, Alukaya, Alukaya shipyard, the container port and those, listen to me, folks. People were holding down 2 and 3 jobs. The construction workers were so busy. The cement people could not even export cement in Nassau because things were so busy in Grand Bahama. People were making so much money, they started building all these duplexes and triplexes, et cetera, to create a glut of such in Grand Bahama. That's not the experience of Grand Bahama today. Its economy is better. But trust me when I say, nowhere close to what they experienced in the 90s. And even in New Providence, where the activity is much more robust, there are still far too many people, and the numbers reflected, particularly too many young people who are simply not feeling that. So when you are talking about your traveling, talking about what you've approved, unless people can experience that in their lives, it becomes a struggle for the government to be able to explain to people what they are doing for people. More often than not, what you want is for explanation, but to have the experience of what you're doing. And unfortunately, I think the Prime Minister will continue to have some blowback from that, because when you go to COP, I'm not saying he shouldn't go to COP. I don't believe that at all.
when you go to heads of government meetings, I don't believe you shouldn't go to those either. To try and tie those into benefits and gains, when you go to carbon credit meetings, to try to tie those into gains for people, even if you're talking about the future, remember you're talking about an abstract place, an abstract thing that doesn't have a material effect on the present circumstances. And people are who they are. We are who we are. Some of us can think abstractly and go, oh boy, you know, in the future that'll look good. But if you're living in a situation in which really today is just a struggle and survival, you don't have time for, you don't take the time out for the self-actualization that represents a higher order in the what do you call the man now? The in Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You don't? And so you don't get to benefit that way in too many ways. I don't think that, you know, both on the side of the population, too many people in the population, and on the side of the politicians, I don't think that we are thinking deeply enough about our situation. I think we're thinking about them, if you're the population, like really, and I'm not blaming, it's not a criticism, but you're thinking more practically and pragmatically about your own personal circumstances, and I understand that because it is what it is, and you got to pay your bills, and you got to take care of things, etc. But so that, but that narrows you into a individualistic, personal, economic, social reality. The government, on the other hand, is in this political prospects feedback mood, right? It's about getting reelected. It's about staying in power and keeping power. And while they would love to have you feel great and wonderful about all they're doing, when that isn't happening to the extent that they would like, then they kind of dig in even more and say, I don't have time for no theoretical, abstractual, planning, strategic thought process about what is happening in the country. I got to look at things that can cause these people to like me today so I can get that vote tomorrow. And that causes us to miss, because we all become impatient. Let me tell you something that I've learned. When we become impatient, we do great harm to ourselves. We do great harm to our relationships. We do great harm to our plan. We do great harm to our future when we become impatient. That's the truth. That's why we spend money we don't have, because we become impatient about having benefits today. But if we were in a more patient, thoughtful, deliberate, and strategic mode, maybe we would see something. So let me give an example. The government asks the Government and Public Policy Institute to look at what it would take. This was the Minnis administration during the course of the pandemic. What it would take to produce economic growth and recovery to cut the debt to GDP ratio by about 50 to 60% from where it was. It was almost 100% at the time. And so the GPPI, we are researchers that included a consultant from Peru and a number of other professors at the university, produced a dynamic computer model that once you plug in various scenarios, and we had to collaborate with the central bank, the Bahamas National Statistical Institute, and others while we were doing this, the Ministry of Tourism, to make sure our data set and what have you reflected the most current realities of the Bahamas. So we produced a model that you can plug in any number of scenarios. And once you did so, it would give you a set of outcomes based on those scenarios. So it is possible today for the government to plug into the model all the things that the IMF said could be done. And then the government would be able to say, yeah, if we did those, this is what would be the likely outcome. It's not perfect. It's not going to tell you necessarily exactly what would happen, but it would be a tool more robust than guessing, more robust than political response, more robust than pragmatic. And that exists today to be able to do. And I'm saying where we are minded to avoid maybe just the reaction that speaks to merely our personal circumstances, we could do better for ourselves than what we on some occasion. You see? And so I don't know what's going to happen, but maybe that's something that we could look at some point. You're listening to Z-Live. I'm Shivago Lange, your host. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after this break.
No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it. Just give us a call.
Let printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Janae's Christmas Wonderland is open under the Big Tent. Get 20 to 50% off selected Christmas decorations in pink, frosted green or white in a variety of sizes, LED and laser lights, a large variety of tree ornaments, lighted angels, Santa tree toppers, bright and lively colored Christmas balls, garlands, wreaths, red and white stringed cranberry, tree skirts, stockings, and lots, lots more. Add flowers, picks, and decorative mesh to brighten up your home or office this holiday season. And don't forget the toys at Janae's Chesapeake Road. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Janae's Limited. WhatsApp 817-3295.
My fellow Bahamians, remember the days of lockdown and social distancing?
JNG Productions presents The Pandemic Show, a hilarious, family-friendly stage play about the COVID-19 pandemic. Join us on November 21st and 22nd at the University of the Bahamas. Showtime is 7 p.m. Bring a mask or a sanitizer, but the only thing contagious is laughter. Tickets, $30 in advance, $40 at the door. Available at Chapter 1 Bookstore or yallspaceperform.com/tickets. Don't miss out.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Do we have, we, oh, no. I take it here. This text says, hi, Shivago. I do not have a problem with the government reducing the public service by 20%, but it could only be done if the overall economy is expanding and doing very well. When the public service is large, the government is essentially admitting that the economy generally, as well as the private sector, is not expanding and is not healthy. I tried sending this from my other phone, but it wasn't going through. That's very good comment. Very sensible comment. You could do it if the economy is doing it, and the words are very well. This text says, you're getting rid of half of the middle class. Poof, just like that. Where we said that? Where we say we were? Getting rid of half of the middle class. Where do we say that? There's a price to pay for progress. That, one of the things that we don't do oftentimes is, you know, we want results, but we are not always mindful of the what it takes to get those results. And even if we are mindful, we are not altogether willing to pay the price for those results. And so what happens then is we only have half the picture, and we use that half of the picture to rationalize what it is that we want. Can I tell you this, please? Bahamians. Bahamians, let me tell you something. The Bahamas in general, economic-wise, social-wise, cultural-wise, political-wise, can achieve progress, even meaningful progress, in almost all the areas where we want. And that progress would take place with appropriate effort, adequate effort from all sides, not just the government. The private sector, you, the individual, would have to do some things your own self, make some adjustments. Your own self, and that collective adjustment on your individual part can result improvements in our macro situation, just as government change adjustment behavior can also produce results. That can happen. We can get better results. We can get improved government financial circumstances. We can get improved economic growth. We can get improved prosperity across the board, both in New Providence and the rest of the islands of the Bahamas. We can improve the circumstances for our children. We can be a more efficient society. We can have a place that really we already love, but enjoy and value and benefit from so much more. But let there be no mistakes about it. To get there, it will not be easy. Will not be simple, will not be without sacrifice, will not be without pain, and cannot happen with the present attitude that we have. Cannot happen. It cannot happen. Why do I say that? Because we are seeing what our present critical mass attitude produces today. And you can try to put that on the politicians. You could try to put that on Davis administration, Minnis administration, Christie administration, Ingram administration. No doubt some part of it will truly belong to them. But if you ignore the extent to which your individual behavior, all of ours, not just the criminals, not just the ones who are committing murder and rape and that kind of thing, and who are dealing guns and so,
But our individual failure to manage our own personal circumstances in ways that collectively produce a better outcome for the country, if you ignore that, then we shall never achieve much more than we are achieving. We cannot. I am unwilling to be one of the people who fails to speak the truth I know, the knowledge I know, as best I know it, to you, because I want to tickle your ear. I want you to like me. I want you to think well of me, because you say, Shivago, just tell us all these wonderful things and prop us up and pump us up, etc. If I need to do that, where that helps us, and I do it because I love the Bahamas. I love the people of the Bahamas. I believe that we have great potential. Almost every speech I make, I say it. Anybody who's been to a speech I made could tell you I say it with regularity. We have great potential. We have accomplished great things. But we are sitting in our own laboratory. we are watching our own cells as specimens through the microscope. And we are seeing how ourselves are doing. We are looking at ourselves, and we can see. In terms of our collective experience, when we go down to the micro level, in terms of our individual experiences, we can see what is happening. And so the extent to which we yearn for better, as we ought, is more than just simply yearning, complaining, and what have you. We should talk like we do. We should share like we do. But I can tell you, like, there is a set of action that is required, and some of it has nothing to do with the government. Nothing to do with the government. Has very much to do with, can I say it this way? Let me give you some hope. If you take your current knowledge of right, wise, and prudent things to do, I'm talking about the current knowledge, not any new knowledge. The current knowledge of what we know is prudent, wise, and helpful to do. If we use 60-70% of that to affect our behavior, we will ordinarily change our circumstances, individual circumstances, and thereby our collective circumstances. And if in that change and adjustment, using your current body of knowledge, you impose that on your political leadership. What I mean by impose. Say, bro, let me explain something to you. Because you're using your current body of knowledge of what is prudent, wise, and helpful to do. Sir, can I explain to you again? Ma'am, let me explain to you. You cannot. You will not get my vote unless you promise, because that's all you could do. They could only promise now, right? You can't deliver. Now, the ones who have the power now, you could say, well, you didn't do these things, and so therefore I can't vote for you. But the ones who promise, they could only promise. And the ones who are there now could only promise you again if they didn't do it this time. If you don't do X, Y, and Z. And here is how I am going to judge your willingness to do X, Y, and Z. In the course of this campaign, I am going to examine how you campaign. Oh, my God. So what is your deposit on the delivery of your promises that I am asking you to make now? What is your delivery? How yourself during this campaign? Now, a critical mass of people have to do that. But if thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of voters are out there talking about, child, I'm looking for a job, I need a couple of dollars, buy me a drink, and I good and I straight, Man, please. Politicians will look at you like, yeah, I got that one. That one right there, that's an easy one right there. But if you, who represent the middle class in this country, the class of people who are educated, and I don't mean by educated you got a degree, I mean by educated that you have an awareness, an informed awareness of things happening in your country and what and things you want to happen, if you are prepared to make a stand and say, you know what? These are things I require. And I am going to accept as a deposit on your willingness to deliver these things, how you conduct yourself. I'm going to examine the how you treat me in terms of presenting to me your platform. I'm going to examine how you communicate with me. I'm going to examine how you treat your opponents and how you treat us, your voters. I am going to examine how you conduct yourself during this campaign, and that is going to be the basis of which I apply my vote. Do that, and oh my goodness. See what happens. See what happens. If you want to open up your prospects and say, listen, everybody got a chance now. Everybody got a chance. Everybody, depending on what they promise, and how they conduct themselves during the campaign, because the only manifest assessment of their interview for that job is their conduct during the campaign. For some who have a history, you can take that into and say, well, you know, when you were there the last time, bro, here's what happened, X, Y, Z. What happened? Explain to me. What I'm saying in the end is change brings change. Status quo doesn't bring change if change is necessary. If status quo is bringing results, status quo should persist. But the change isn't only about your politicians. The change is about each and every one of us in our spaces and places trying to do what we can. Now, if you're one of those people hanging out there, young or old, who's sitting around blaming everybody for your lack of success, then that can't be done. Ladies and gentlemen, listening to Z Live, I'm Chicago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us today. God spares life. We'll be back tomorrow. Do well.
If you feel like you've been down.